The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Monday morning, the 20th. It's not 20 nothing of nothing. It's the 16th of September 2019. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. If you have a torch app on your phone, it might be useful to find your way around because it's grey and dark around outside. It truly has the bang of autumn off it. Having said that, it was bizarrely balmy and warm and summery on Saturday, certainly around my part of the world. I'm not sure about yours, but. And then Sunday it said, no, you had enough of that. And back to this. It was kind of confusing. But we're here now and we're delighted to be with you all day, every day. We're going to be with our friends at the Ploughing Championship tomorrow morning, live from 9 to 10. So we'll be heading down there later on and we'll see you around the place. So be sure to come and say hello and greet us and meet us. It's the papers are awash in a sea of blue, as you can appreciate. But it's not just the men, it's the women as well. All getting lots of love in all the papers this morning. You have the Dublin players celebrating with the Brendan Martin Cup after their win against Galway, obviously. And then the lads and their win against Kerry. So there was a lot of love in Dublin this weekend. Well done to all the winners and commiserations to those who came second, as it were. Not a big fan of the word losers, because it just doesn't feel right after all the efforts. So there you are. From blue to green. Why am I mentioning green? Well, Boris Johnson this weekend compared himself to the Incredible Hulk. Why would he do such a thing? Well, because he's Boris Johnson. But he compared himself to the Hulk in escaping membership of the European Union. This is the level we're at here. He said Hulk always escaped, no matter how tightly bound in he seemed to be. And that is the case for this country. So be it. But the guy who plays the Hulk, Mark Ruffalo, saw this and said, hang on a second. And he tweeted a response. He said, hang on, wait, the Hulk works best when he is in unison with a team. And that his rage is counterbalanced by the science and reason of his alter ego, the mild-mannered Dr. Bruce Banner. So the man who plays the Hulk is telling Boris Johnson that his Hulk analogy is utterly off the mark and therefore, obviously, incorrect. Now, I don't know enough about Hulk other than to know that I watched it when I was a kid and it was fun to watch, and the sad tinkly music when he headed off into the distance having solved the crime with tattered clothing. And that was it. Lou Ferrigno was the guy who played the Hulk when he was green, and it was a joy to watch. And then they made the Marvel-y films. And suddenly the Hulk became sort of like more like a troubled teenager who needed to serious therapy with anger issues. Why do you think he's got anger issues? Well, he's just turned into a giant green monster. It probably might suggest that something's not quite right. I was reading a piece yesterday from David Cameron's autobiography. The former Prime Minister has been in a lot of the papers yesterday. And this piece I read was a description of David Cameron at Dublin Castle at that extraordinary dinner that the Queen was at with Mary McAleese, who was president at the time. And in it, David Cameron says that he was seated beside Seamus Heaney, the poet, to his left. And to the left of Seamus Heaney was Prince Philip, who we know has a penchant for telling a slightly off-colour story, as it were. And he proceeded to tell all these stories to both David Cameron and to Mr. Heaney. And that was sounding like it was a bit of crack, actually, and a lot of fun. And apparently, Seamus Heaney then turned to David Cameron and quote-unquote said, "Be Jesus, that man's some card." And I thought, well, did he say be Jesus? Or is David Cameron's recollection like bang on, or is he just kind of approximating what he suspected an Irishman might say in response to an evening with Prince Philip? However, either way, it seems like that book is worth a look at. There's another book that's doing the rounds. I saw an interview with the two authors of last night called She Said, and that is the book by the two journalists who uncovered the Harvey Weinstein case. With that started the Me Too. I mean, that's where it began. They can actually find it right where it began. And that book looks quite good, so we'll have a look out for that and when it comes out. Quick word on spiders, only on the basis that they're here and they're our friends. You remember V, when they came down and said, "We are here, because we need your help. And the spiders are a bit the same way, except that they're not, obviously they're not reptiles, these guys. So the people have been looking at this to find out what's, are there many more of them around this time or what's happening? It does seem that there are, that spider season is busier in 2019 than it was in 2018. So if you find yourself going, there seems to be more of them, it's largely because it seems the summer was so hot and they're knocking around. The reality is that house spiders are, they're there already, and there's not much that you can do about them. But they love mess. So if you have mess in your house, doing a lot of good job now, clearing off mess around, a bit of clutter around yesterday, which is great. If you have piles of clothes, that kind of thing, they love that. So they're going to go, oh, yes, teenage room, or yes, messy parent room, and in they go. And so that clear up the stuff off the floor is the message there. And research by the same team they're looking into published that what time do you think spiders would most like to copulate? What time do the spider shenanigans... No, they can. They can scientifically tell you that spiders are feeling the full Marvin Gaye at a particular time. They put their little spider leg goes to the record player because it's quite light. They can lift it and put the needle right onto Let's Get It On. And they do it, right? And then the opening bars begin at 7:35 p.m. every night. Just when you think, what's this? Can you hear something? It's like a tiny little noise somewhere in the room. That's the spiders doing what they're doing at 7:35. That's mating season. It runs from first or second week of September right up to the first week of October. That's the noise you're hearing that you can't place. Like, you know, sometimes you have a smoke alarm and for some weird reason you can't find it anywhere. It makes that noise and you're like, where is it? It seems to come from one side of the house and the other side of the house, and the garden, and up the road, all at the same time. Matt, that's spiders mating. And roughly 8 in 10 spiders seen around the house are man spiders. And what are they doing? They're on the hunt for females. So it's basically like coppers with loads of legs. And they're more likely to stay in one place and wait. The females wait in one place. And where do they wait mostly? Windowsills. That's where you'll find them. That's where you will find them. Exactly like coppers, actually. Now, I see elsewhere that there was a lot of fun over the weekend for Peaky Blinders fans because there was a Peaky Blinders gathering, a legitimate Peaky Blinders festival on Saturday. I suppose they all go, it's kind of like a cross between a cosplay convention, historical reenactment, and hip urban music festival. Could anything be cooler, I wonder? Stone's throw from the street where the Peaky Blinders... A first crime was recorded 130 years ago. The gang returned to reclaim their turf. Crowds dressed up. It's a great style. I'd say that's quite a nice weekend away. And I'm sure they all had fun getting there. But Helen says the best line from Peaky Blinders, she texts, spoken perfectly, as always, by Cillian Murphy, was, I had more complicated strategies in mind for Mr. Mosley, but he spoke badly to my wife. And that is, Oswald Mosley's rearing his ugly head into that programme at the moment. The Crown, they're saying in her.ie that the director, the creator of The Crown, chats with the palace regularly to make sure that they're okay. The Queen's communications secretary suggested that the show doesn't come with any endorsement from The Crown, but they like to be kept posted as to what exactly may or may not be happening. Eleanor, good morning, says people can take consolation from the fact that lots of indoor spiders are the sign of a dry, well-built house, apparently. Well, that's another... always with the pluses, Eleanor. I like that. Very positive thinking, even in this arachnoid conundrum for people. Patrick Daly writing in the Irish Independent this morning that high-profile celebrities in the UK, including Irish comedian Aisling B and Gary Lineker, have joined a campaign to fight social media trolls. Well... it's an admirable thing to do. The group of TV stars and politicians and campaigners will be muting, blocking and reporting abhorrent and derogatory comments with the worst handed to the police in a bid to starve so-called trolls of the wider audience they reportedly crave. How about that? In one eye-opening piece of analysis, a quoted tweet, which is a totally different thing, by Labour and anti-Brexit MP David Lammy to his 562,000 followers, was able to increase his abuser's own popularity by 14%. The abuser had accused the MP of not being of Indigenous English. I always worry about how much you should give, how much attention you should give, by the way, to trolls, generally speaking. And also, it is kind of a given now. You go online, you'll get the head taken off you. That's part of the experience, I'm sad to say. A difficult weekend for, in some ways, for a former guest on this programme, Gareth Thomas, the rugby legend, who was involved in a 140-mile triathlon just a day after he made a big revelation online. What happened was he had been forced to make the admission, I'm going to play it for you now, when he said he was threatened by people who said they would give away his secret. He had chosen to make it a secret. And it's sick, he says, and I've been through hell. And this is the admission he made over the weekend.
Hello, I'm Gareth Thomas, and I want to share my secret with you. Why? Because it's mine to tell you. Not the evils that make my life hell threatening to tell you before I do. And because I believe in you and I trust you. I'm living with HIV. Now you have that information that makes me extremely vulnerable, but it does not make me weak. Now, even though I've been forced to tell you this, I choose to fight to educate and break the stigma around this subject.
Good on him. That's Gareth Thomas. He was a lovely, lovely man to interview here on the show, and quite a brave thing to do, to say the least. Now, sadly, he was forced into doing it. I'm sure he would have rather done it on his own terms, but a very honest, sincere and authentic human being. So we wish him all the very, very, very best from this corner of the country to his, as I say, one of the good ones, that's for sure. I got to see Downton Abbey over the weekend, and I must say, I described it as a cinematic hug. You know, it was built for a Sunday afternoon and or a Saturday afternoon or just an afternoon. It's tailor-made for that lovely experience. And I was with my oldest and we were enjoying it tremendously. And just towards the end, about 10 minutes to go, three people came in to the cinema. So, what are they doing? What are these guys doing? They only got to catch the last. They must have missed it, the last. And they came and they were coming up the steps to the cinema, small cinema. And they come up the steps and then they landed right at my chair because I always sit in the aisle because I might like to get in and get out fast. And they said, excuse me, you're in our seats, E123. And I said, what film are you here to see? And they said, Downton Abbey. I said, right, you know, this is the end. And they went, it's not starting. And I said, no, it's on in two cinemas. You're meant to be in number five. This is number six. Oh, thanks. That's okay. I've only missed 6 minutes of it, the crucial six. Okay, bye. See ya. Thank you. You're welcome. And they crept. They got to the last. Sit. Get out. Get out. They were very polite, in fairness to them. And the woman I met afterwards who was walking out, and she gave me a big grin. This is a different woman who was sitting behind us. I said, did you enjoy it? She said, I loved it. She said, I'm 90. I said, aren't you? Like, come on, you couldn't be 90 years old. She was there. My mother's going to love it. You know what I mean? And I loved it. It's just beautiful. And not an awful lot happens so elegantly that you, it's definitely a must to see. I think our guys, that is, as I always refer to listeners at this point, our guys will really enjoy this. I think you'll love it. 17 minutes past 9.